Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, good morning. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry here. Well, how much is a human life worth? You heard Celeste there. Priceless, right? Well, maybe not. At least not according to the federal government. Federal agencies set a value on human life, and here's what it is. Ballpark of about $8 million, give or take a couple million. And of course, it depends on which federal government agency you're talking about and which administration is ruling that agency. So the value of life matters. It is a philosophical question, of course, but it's also a regulatory one. We're talking dollars and cents here. It's the federal government. So to help us understand how the feds come up with these numbers, we're joined by Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And to help us understand whether it's really possible to place monetary value on human life, it's Peter Singer, philosopher and professor of bioethics at Princeton University. He's author of many books, including The Life You Can Save, Acting Now to End World Poverty. Professor, good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Louise, let me start with you there. Why do this? I don't want to think about a human life being worth $8 million or $9 million. Why even do this?
Well, you know, all these different agencies, the EPA and the Food and Drug Administration and the Transportation Department, when they're making regulations to require companies to do things, they have to justify the cost they impose on these companies. So, you know, for instance, the Transportation Department, when they're deciding whether to make companies out there make stronger roofs on cars, which it's expensive to make a stronger type of roof, they have to come back and say, here's how we justify it. And they use what they see as the value of life to make that justification. They say, you know, increasing the strength of the roofs by this much will save 150 lives. And they say, and those lives are worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars more than it will cost you to do it. So you got to do it. And that's why they're coming up with these calculations.
What goes into the number? I imagine your earning potential over life, your productivity, things like that.
Well, you know, what's interesting is actually in the court system, you know, in tort law, it's very standard to come up with the value of life because when someone gets killed in a case, they've got to come up with damages. And there they often look at what the person's lost wages over time would be. However, here, there's a different method a lot of agencies use. They also look at how much value workers put on avoiding death. So they look at how much people who are in risky occupations get paid more per year to come up with the calculations. And so that puts the value of life the government puts on life higher than what the calculation in court would often come up with.
All right. Well, Peter Singer, professor from Princeton, this doesn't sit well with a lot of people. Listen to one of our listeners, Jessica. She's putting a voice to how some people feel about assigning dollar values to human life.
Hi, this is Jessica calling from Columbia, South Carolina. By putting that monetary value on life, doesn't it devalue it? How can you assess the cost of one's soul? Don't like the thought of this at all.
Peter Singer, this just a case of cold calculating a government objectivity for human life or something more?
Well, I think it is something more. I don't think you could actually get away with not having some sort of value on human life, or if you did, you would simply be making inconsistent decisions. I think anybody who says every life is priceless, you should never put a value on life, should consider whether that means we should spend the entire U.S. federal budget, let's say, to save one extra life. I mean, most people would think that would be crazy. And obviously, there are things in the federal budget that we spend money on that are not saving lives. Would anybody think we ought to stop all that spending, let's say not have any national parks or anything like that, put all of that money into simply better road safety? So you would spend, let's say, you know, $10 billion on realigning a highway if somebody could give you statistics that showed that over the next 50 years that would save one life. I think that would be crazy. But once you agree that that's crazy, inevitably you get into this question of, well, how much do we spend? And so you do want to have some notion of how much you're prepared to spend.
Peter Singer, we want to have some notion of it, but in the end, does it make a difference? You look at whether or not the U.S. intervenes, let's say, in a genocide in Rwanda, and you would conclude cynically, well, life is cheap. Then you look at the case of Terry Schiavo, where the U.S. government and the Senate got tied up for a week or more because of the life of one person, and you say, well, life is awfully, awfully expensive. It doesn't seem to be consistent at all.
But I think that, you know, what you've, those examples you've given just show that we are irrational about some of these things, and really we should not be. I mean, once you start getting into the question of the lives of people in other countries in the world, you mentioned Rwanda, then I think that does show up that really we are being irrational in some way because, as you've been saying, U.S. government agencies will put a price of around $8 million on saving a single American life, whereas most aid agencies will tell you that they can save the life of someone in a developing country for maybe $1,000. So, you know, you compare that $1,000 and $8 million, there's a vast difference. And I'd suggest the difference ought not to be that great. We ought to be spending more to save lives generally, whether they're American lives or other people's lives.
But, Louise, how is this different from getting a life insurance policy? I mean, well, isn't that placing a value on a human life?
It is, absolutely, Celeste. But, you know, when you get a life insurance policy, you place the value on your own life, right? Because you go to the insurer and you decide how much you want to pay per month and how much you want the payout to your relatives or beneficiaries to be when you die. And I think what causes the controversy here is that people feel it's out of their control. It's in the government's hands versus life insurance. You know, it's in your hands and you place the value. And some of it can seem arbitrary, like Peter's talking about different types of people having different values set on their life. If you remember back after September 11th with the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, they did not pay all the victims' families the same amount. Actually, they did that based on the lost wages of the people. And so bankers who died in 9/11, their families got a lot more money than janitors who died in 9/11. And that was controversial at the time.
Let's face it, you know, the government has to make cold, hard calculations because, well, the government has to manage the country, and maybe putting a price tag on human life is the only way to do it. Louise Story, thank you. Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Peter Singer, philosopher and professor of bioethics at Princeton, author of The Life You Can Save, Acting Now to End World Poverty. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You know, Celeste, you look at a statistic under the Bush administration at the Department of Transportation, a human life was valued at $3.5 million for those roofs Louise was talking about. Under Obama administration, $6.1 million. So it makes you wonder if this isn't just ideological in the end.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's pretty much just economic.